Hey, this is Logan Olson.
And this is Ben Geely.
And we have a special guest,
Leo Margul.
And this is To the Future.
Future!
Yeah! I thought you could swear at the beginning before the, like in the cold open of the podcast.
Like, that's the only place in podcasts you're allowed to swear?
Well, that's what you guys said in earlier episodes.
Oh, my God. You really have been listening.
Wow.
I did my research, guys.
I don't even remember saying that. Did I say that or did Logan?
I don't remember anything we say, so.
Nope.
Did you hear about the rule?
We like to call this podcast Coming Back to Haunt Us 20 Years From Now. That's the subtitle.
Mm-hmm. I found out my boss listens. So.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp. Did you hear about the rule? There's one rule on this podcast.
What's the rule?
It's you raise your hand before you talk so that we don't step on each other.
Yeah. Kind of like this. You just sort of, hey.
Got it.
I have something to say now. Like that.
That's a great idea.
I was exampling.
Oh, okay. So, guys, we always interview an expert, as Leo has pointed out. And I don't know if Leo's an expert at it, but I thought we'd actually talk about online dating.
Oh.
You can tell Leo is not briefed on the subject.
I had no clue why I was here, yeah. But I'm happy to be here. I can talk about my very brief experience in online dating.
So, would you consider yourself an expert in online dating?
For the purposes of entertaining the people listening, absolutely. In real life, no.
That's the spirit.
So, I think we should start with usually our experts know the history of online. Do you know anything about the history of online dating?
I think in 1892, carrier pigeons used to send messages from a potential suitor to women, and then it evolved as communication evolved. And then it just...
I would bet you it goes back even further than that. I would bet you early royal families, likely. You could call that online dating, I suppose, in the sense. You know, you got one royal family saying, like, we've got a daughter, and she's going to be the Duchess of Bavaria. And then you got another royal family that's like, that's great, because we got a son. He's going to be the Duke of Tlingon, so let's get him all hitched up. And they communicate.
So really, what you're arguing is that the... prearranged marriages are the predecessor to online dating?
Or, like, back in the 1840s and other periods, I can only speak from American examples, but, like, when we had immigrant communities, and then they'd be like, we're going to send 50 Swedish women to New York for husbands, and vice versa.
There was no dating between 1840. Before 1840, there was no dating.
No, it was straight fucking.
There's that no swearing rule right up.
We'll change that to straight freaking later.
We will?
No, I don't know. Maybe. Online dating is interesting just because I feel like there used to be a stigma and that stigma is gone. What are your guys' feelings on online dating?
I would agree with you entirely that there used to be a stigma and now I feel like the vast majority of people that I know that are our age have at the very least tried it a little bit, and some people do it a lot.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it, Leo?
I think I kind of experienced it the way that maybe society has, if that makes any sense, and that I thought there was a stigma associated with it, and then I gave it a try and saw that there was such a wide variety of people doing it, especially on one site called OkCupid, which I feel like is kind of the great equalizer that people our age, people with similar backgrounds and interests, they aggregate on that site.
Mm-hmm. So, Leo, I know you've online dated. Ben, have you online dated?
I have, yes.
I have also online dated. Let's all talk about our experiences.
Hey.
Oh my God! So, three for three!
Let me tell you about a funny experience. When I first tried online dating, I was living with a few people, and I was a little embarrassed. I don't know if embarrassed was the right word, but I was shy about it. I was like, they don't need to know I'm doing this. And so I'd kind of like turn my computer. We all lived in the living room. And then one of the guys kind of noticed me doing it. I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, you're trying that. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, all right. And he left. And I was like, well, cat's out of the bag. And then about a week and a half later, he goes, so how's that going? Like, you seem like you're going on a lot of dates lately. Is that working for you? I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. He's like, is it free? Yeah, it's free. Huh. And then, like, one day, I think all four of us living together at the time, Reckon is like, oh, we're all doing this. Like, all the computers are open, just, like, flipping through women being like, nope, nope, yep.
Was,
nope,
was it OkCupid?
Nope, nope,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the free one. It's the free one.
That is the free one. Have you seen their stat stuff at all?
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of interesting stat stuff.
They do.
Yeah.
They do indeed.
Yeah, I feel like that was the motivation of creating the site, right? Was to just, like, scrape people's data to create interesting, like, statistical observations.
Was that the motivation, really?
I think so. That and making money by being bought by a larger corporation.
I bet you the first one was probably the bigger motivation.
To help people connect and...
No, the making money.
Oh, okay. Silly me.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Thinking that people do things to help others.
So, Ben, did you find love on OkCupid?
Found something.
How about you, Leo?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Tell us your OkCupid story. The story of you and OkCupid. You can tell us about, like, your loved ones later, but first, you and the site. What's your relationship?
We're going to have to work with you and your stage presence. Not you, Leo Logan.
No worries. I moved out to L.A. to pursue comedy a few years ago, and I kind of dove into that and was focusing on that.
Refuge of the Damned.
Yeah, it's pretty thankless, and it can get kind of disheartening. And I was away from family and friends, and I realized at a certain point that I had not even tried to go on dates. Like, I had just completely stopped thinking about that part of my life. And I took a step back, and I saw a lot of my friends were in successful relationships off OkCupid here in L.A. and all over the U.S. and for whatever they were looking for from women, whether it was a quick relationship or something longer term or really the entire spectrum. So I thought I would give it a shot. I wasn't really that interested until I took a cursory glance and I saw this one girl who is not the girl that I'm currently dating.
Preface of the story, honey, this isn't you.
To be completely honest, yeah. I saw this one girl and I was pretty smitten by her, and she seemed pretty clever. And really, it was just, like, the first interesting girl I saw on the site. Because as I would find out, OkCupid required just a lot and a lot of browsing on the male's part. You get a few messages, but your experience is completely different than a female's experience.
In a certain way, if I may, having spoken with lady friends of mine that have tried it out, it's literally just like a bar.
Yeah.
Women have dudes coming up to them constantly, just endlessly, and you have to be one of those dudes.
That's a great call. Yeah,
like,
but they...
It's just like a bar.
But it's a bar if women were wearing a sign that was like, please approach me in a non-creepy way.
Right, and they're not like in a cluster of other women where you're like, how the fuck am I going to walk up to those 9 women and just talk to that one?
Yeah.
Because they're going to tear me apart like wildcats.
But it's also like a bar if you had like a Minority Report style setup where you could just be like, all right, I want to see only these types of girls, and I want to...
Filter PhD graduates with brown hair who are skinny.
You can totally filter. Just like it has a pre-crime section, and that's a part of the site that no one really talks about.
I'm seeking a woman who will murder her aunt in the next 14 years.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a little creepy in that regard.
Deeply so.
But yeah, so I really wanted to impress this one specific girl who I saw. So I started creating a profile. I worked hard on it, and OkCupid has specific questions, not too many, that people have to fill out, like, what are 6 things you can't live without? What are your interests, goals, etc.? And so I filled that out, and I've had a lot of different people vet it, male friends, female friends. And when I felt it was good, I got on the site, and that girl had closed her account. And I was like, well, so much for that. And then I started using the site like a normal user, and I eventually found a young lady. And that was a nice process. I can go into that.
Please do.
Sure. I received a message from a girl.
She messaged you?
Yeah, it was very rare.
It's a bold fox right there.
Yeah, and the way she messaged me, which she probably won't appreciate me sharing in a public forum, was she searched for Jews that were 6 feet tall and over that had graduated college.
Throw me up a high five there.
Well done.
There you go.
Bam.
Are you also one of those?
No.
You're not Jewish?
No, I'm not. I thought I was until I was 8, though.
But you're the progeny of circus folk.
No, I'm the descendant of circus
folk. They're Jewish circus folk? Yes.
He's not Jewish, but he's definitely from circus folk.
Ah. Yeah.
I'm not sure what Jews and circus folk have to do with one another. Perhaps you could enlighten us, Leo, but this is all Logan's game show here with these Jew circus folk bits.
That sounds great.
We'll probably have to cut that one out, Alex.
Because that crossed the line.
You can't make a Venn diagram where Jews and circus folk overlap.
So, Leo, like, it sounds like the online dating thing worked for you.
It did, yeah.
What's your evaluation of online dating now?
I mean, I haven't even glanced at it at all. And
he swears, honey.
I mean, I really haven't.
That's me talking as if I'm Leo's.
PR
Flackman id.
Yeah.
But the whole process was so... You know, I think about this girl who I now just moved in with 2 months ago, and it's so by chance. Like, she literally looked up these three criteria, and up popped 8 guys, and she messaged 3 of them. And I think she might have gone on a date with one of them, but also me. And, like, I'm actually 5'11", but I decided to round up. If I had decided not to round up in that, like, 3 seconds of consideration, we may have not met at all.
But then again, that's really no more or less random than, say, meeting a girl in your first day of a class in college because you got there late and there was only one seat in the very back row and she was sitting next to it. In fact, in some ways, it's a hell of a lot more specific than that.
Yeah.
Because she was, you know, she was like 6-foot-tall Jewish guy with a college degree.
Yeah, she was
searching for something. Whereas, like, she would be sitting there in the class, turns and looks at you and goes, 5'11", you don't have a degree yet. Fuck right off.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I don't remember where I was reading it, but it was talking about the randomness or, like, the chance of, like, falling in love and, like, what are the chances that the two of us met? And like, somebody actually went through and they're like, actually, the chances were quite high. Like, there's only so many people in your socioeconomic band, who are single at any given time. And actually, it's not that many. Yes, Ben?
I'll tell you, that's a really interesting thing because me and a friend that were on it at the same time, We had a lot of overlap.
You guys dated each other accidentally?
We accidentally went out a few times. They're like, wait a second. No, so we you know, compare notes as two friends who are doing the same thing often do. And, you know, we're like, oh, you see her? I was like, oh, yeah, I totally saw her. Oh, you see her? I totally saw her, whatever. And then we're like, you know, I wonder what would happen. Like, is this whole thing just a website full of, like, upwardly mobile, like, college graduates, blah blah blah? And we're like, meh. So we made a fake profile and answered all the questions, like a lot of the just like personality questions, like, what are your political beliefs, how do you feel about abortion, rainbows, awesome or shitty, kitties, you love them or you hate them, and we just kind of did it opposite, and it's a completely different site. It's a completely different spectrum of human beings that are shown to you. The technology behind the way that they show you people is very impressive.
Most social networks have this issue, and it's been flagged, specifically in regards to, like, what you think other people think. Like, Facebook, for instance. You are in a giant echo chamber most of the time with Facebook.
See, and the worst part of that is I'm starting to really hate my echo chamber, so I'm just progressively blocking more and more of my friends until the news feed will just be, like, me talking to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing about OkCupid is it kind of self-selects in that there's a lot of questions that you have to answer, and that kind of colors the people that the site shows to you.
Certainly.
And one of those questions that was pretty jarring that my ex-roommate just recently showed to me was, I think it was phrased, do you think there's a statistical correlation between race and intelligence? So basically a fancy way of saying, are you racist? Right. Yes or no?
Yep.
And so if you answer, yeah, I'm a racist, then you're going to see other racists.
There are a few of those questions in that whole setup that are like, they're not super on the money as much on that one, where you're like, oh my God. But there's some, like, ones where they ask you, like, it's like they're intelligence questions where it's like, name the next number in this series. It's like an SAT question, like,
revolve around the earth, or vice versa?
If you have a glove for your left hand and you turn it inside out, which hand does it fit on? And so it's literally going like, okay, who here has basic rational logic skills? They're probably not going to like each other if they don't. And separation.
So what's so interesting about that is I wonder how they generated those questions. Like,
users generated them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
not all of them.
A lot of them are user-generated questions. Yeah.
What about the other ones?
I'm sure they were created by the system. I bet you, though, that they would... I'm totally guessing here. I bet you that questions that they correlate with more, like, divisive power are probably promoted inside of it.
Well, so that's so interesting. They're like the whole like essentially what OkCupid does is, or I guess how I presume it works, is similar to Amazon or Netflix star ratings
for bodies,
for humans,
and people,
for humans, not just the bodies, because it's also what you think and what you believe.
Sure, it is.
It absolutely. I mean, certainly.
No, I'm just
certainly
being,
when you're scanning, you're also looking for.
I'm just being a dick for comedic purposes.
Yeah,
but you're like, absolutely right.
It's just fascinating that, like, sure, the questions are user generated, but like, still the correlation between multiple questions and like how those are categorized is largely by a computer, right?
Right.
It's machine learning, and so what a machine discovers, they're not biased by anything. It's pure like data, and so what. Essentially, those people that you were pointed at was all a computer. It was essentially like replace the matchmaker from Fiddler on the Roof with just like a supercomputer somewhere in like near Cupertino, and that is where we've ended up.
Can the computer still give me folksy advice and play a fiddle?
Oh yeah,
they put the computer on a roof and make it Jewish. Has to be a very strong roof to support such a large computer.
Well, I mean, they can build very strong roofs these days.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it this way. That's not really how buildings work. Never mind. Moving right along.
Well, what else is crazy about the questions is it gives you a second layer of questions, which is once you answer the question, it says, how important is this to you? Somewhat important, very important, or not important. So if you take a question like the statistical correlation, you don't quite get it, you can write not important, or you can not answer it. But if you write very important,
and then answer it wrong.
If you go as far as to say, hey, I'm racist, and it's super important for someone I'm dating to also be racist. Then you're very racist and you should steer clear.
It's a deeper level of sorting.
So, guys, I'm going to pitch you my dating network idea. I believe I pitched this to other Rocket Jump people, and I'm going to go ahead and say this one's copyrighted Logan Olson. But what I would really like is a website where rather than answer questions, you just agree to have your internet browsing tracked fully, completely. And he goes, listen, man, we're never going to publish this, but we're going to watch everything you do on the internet. We're just going to watch all of it for a full month. And then we will recommend spouses to you or like loved ones to you.
That's crazy. You should just do that. People will sign up for that.
But the thing is, people will sign up for that. But you're going to have to build a more sophisticated algorithm than you think. Because like, if you have one guy that like, say, I was like, okay, he reads the news a whole lot, and then he also like specifically watches a lot of like Asian gangbang porn, then he's not going to be looking for a spouse necessarily who also is into the news and she also likes Asian gangbang porn, because maybe it's not so much a shared interest so much as like that's his sexual fetish. So first of all, you need to know that maybe she needs to be Asian in this particular case, and maybe she also needs to be like into gangbangs.
But Ben, it's not like some humans like looking at like search histories and being like, well, A goes with Z. No, it's all machine learning, as Netflix, Amazon, and OkCupid.
But it's not all the same, because my point is that when you're like the difference between what you're talking about and Amazon, Netflix, and OkCupid is that there is a specific categorizable like endpoint based on the searching. So when you're whipping through the Netflix queue and you start to watch movies, Netflix can say like, oh, he picked this one, and then he picked this one, and then he picked this one, and there are these different things that are associated with these films, like one word things that you don't need to know anything about the movie. You could just, it's like, oh, action, it's violent, it's rated R, and you can start pairing things. Whereas just passively viewing someone's web history, there's a whole layer of interpretation that your machine learning at first, I mean, you could do something very, very advanced here over time as it learns more and more, but you need to track your people to see if it works, is what that passive viewing actually does. Like, take me for example. I'm sure there's tons of people like me where I will go down a rabbit hole of like the simplest question in the world. Someone will be like, I don't even know why I was doing this today. I was Wikipediaing tanistry. Tanistry is the manner in which northern like Celtic tribes would elect their next leader in feudal Europe, where it would the tannist was the next person in line, and you'd like vote, like all the lords of a certain family tree would like vote for the tannist, and the tannist would be the king. And like, why was I doing that? I could not fucking tell you. But then I ended up following a thing on the Gaelic language, and then I was reading about Irish independence, all this shit. What does your thing take from that?
But so the thing is, what's important here is to think, humans aren't looking at this, computers are. And you raise a very good point, which is machine learning depends on two things. It depends on data, and then it depends on feedback. And if we just monitored your web history, and that was it, you're right, that would never be a good site. We need to monitor your web history, make recommendations, and then get feedback onto the quality of those recommendations. Was I on target? Was I off target?
Oh, okay. That I agree with.
At that point.
But that was not what you pitched initially.
You're right. So you're right. On target, off target is an absolutely necessary thing here. But at that point, we have a complete system. And if we get a big enough data set,
I think
honestly, rather than answering questions, if we saw your web browsing history for a month and we had enough of a data set, we could find your wife. Like, bam. Like there, like we'd find you, your wife so hard, Ben. She'd be so ready for you. And here's what's amazing. Here's the cherry on top.
Really aggressive.
Here's the cherry on top. In 50 years, we send in a really nice envelope. It's sealed with wax. The web history that you send the spouse's web history to the other one.
There won't be any wax left in 50 years.
In 50 years, you get this nice envelope and you open it up and it's your wife's web history from 50 years and a month ago.
It's unsettling, Logan.
It's kind of strange, right?
That's weird. That's weird.
Wow.
It's weird.
Donkeys! Why donkeys?
How? You'd need a huge sample size.
I'm implying that Ben's wife was a donkey farmer.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. It's like, why were you keeping all these clippings of the hog farmers in British Columbia that were killing hookers? Like, you read like 80 articles about
all those hog farmers that kill hookers. Classic endemic.
There's one up there.
You would need a huge sample size.
Yes,
of people.
I agree.
That's the internet. I mean,
massive.
Hold on,
amounts.
And you have so much data after 30 days of web browsing. How are you gonna? You have to tell the computer initially how it matches.
I think the flaw in this though is that once you had the system going, it probably would be pretty brilliant. But getting the system to have enough data and also getting enough feedback to know that these things were working could, even if you were paying, if you were literally like, I'll give you, do you need, you want to meet a wife? I'll give you $1,000 to do this, please.
Fucking dollars.
You have to talk in a sexy, sexual voice.
Thousand
someone pitching
dollars.
A new dating website, right. Talking in that voice is a dynamite combination.
So anyway,
I'll give you $1,000.
Sign me up. That sounds great.
I had no idea you guys thought my voice was so sultry.
Breathy.
Yeah.
Fucking do it.
Fucking dollars.
Okay. No, I just think it would take forever to get a meaningful data pool that you could actually draw meaningful conclusions from on and actually give recommendations that were better than random chance, but good enough to give people a shot.
I think that's the conundrum of all machine learning. And so I you know, there's the old saying, fake it till you make it. And so
you can't fake it that long.
I just find whoever the most sagely wise man is.
It's like you walking into a hospital with a lab coat on and being like, okay, I watched some ER. Just do what the nurses do. Fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it.
I will give you $1,000 if you let me operate on you. $1,000.
This is way better than normal medicine. Sure.
$1,000.
I hope, Alex, can you just reverb? $1,000. Just throughout the whole thing.
$1,000.
That's enough money for anything.
Maybe not breathy, a little more like $1,000.
To me, it's all about the dollars.
Dollars.
$1,000.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Dollars. Just dollars.
All right, I got
dollars. Dollars.
Okay, I got a dating service for you instead.
Service me, Ben. Right.
Instead of your ridiculous machine learning, your patently absurd machine learning.
Machine learning? What is this? Witchcraft?
What is this? You people should be burned at the stake. I advocate that in 20 to 30 years, what we do is you take a blood sample and you run it against For birth defects and also brain chemistry. What
this
your
sounds
mood,
like, really eugenic-y.
This sounds like Hitler.
Yeah, no, you're really Hitler no, no, no. with this.
You just you run all that shit, and then
and
what you do?
You find the perfect.
Well, no, but because here's the difference. Here's the fucking difference.
They jack you off into a bag and spray.
Hold them down.
So essentially, we're just cows.
No,
take you out the stud.
Yeah. Let me finish. What you do is because like here's the thing. Hillary, yeah, that's eugenic because there was nothing there where he was like, oh, yeah, science. Obviously, Jews are inferior. Am I right, my other Nazi friends? And it's like, okay, but that's you're just a crazy person. You're picking a group. This is literally like, okay, well, based on what we've learned about genetics and, you know, hormones and whatnot, a good match for you for raising a child, not only for the health of the child, but also like your emotional makeup and how you relate to each other, are these people. And it's very unlikely to me to assume, it's very unlikely in my assumption that those kind of breakouts would be like, turns out that you should only be dating blonde Polish girls.
Ben, what you're describing is literally eugenics from the early 20th century.
No, like before, no, it's not. Like, no, it's not
like
at all. Because no, it's not.
Guy,
no. Well, because, no, yeah, I'm sorry, not at all, Logan. Come
you're just,
the fuck on. No, excuse me.
Eugenics, I like how angry you got by this, by the way. Like, you're really offended.
Eugenics from the early 20th century. Eugenics from the
so
early 20th century. I know.
Logan, what I'm talking about is 21st century eugenics. It's
why,
totally different.
Logan,
it's totally okay.
Why did you not tell your Jewish friend that your 6'3" blonde friend was going to scream about genetic engineering at him?
So what's Yom Kippur?
No. The point that I'm making is the difference between.
This is so not okay right now. What you're saying?
Then can I please complete what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The difference between early 20th century eugenics, which was basically like, you're mentally or physically handicapped, or you're just a group that we don't like, you don't get to breed. That's not what this is at all.
This is Gattaca.
Yeah, Gattaca's a better one.
Okay.
I mean, look at it this way. I can't actually remember the name of the disorder. It's very, very prevalent in the Ashkenazi Jewish population.
Crohn's disease?
No.
The one where they can't feel pain?
No.
Like
what?
The bad guy?
Crohn's disease is a reason that at sperm banks they don't allow Jews a lot of the time.
There's a
get out of here.
I know Crohn's disease. There's another disorder that is it's generally very fatal for children. It's like they don't make it out of early childhood. No, not SIDS.
I thought this is the one where they don't. This is the one where they can't feel pain, right? So it makes all children, but we like exterminate them.
No, this
too
is something
powerful.
That literally like it does something terrible to like your internal organs or your nervous system or something. Where it's like you just don't make it out of childhood. It's you can't feel pain. It's just like your child has this disorder and like they don't make it past 6. It is very, very prevalent in the Ashkenazi Jewish population because it was a closed community for so long in Europe, and the genetic markers that cause it. Pop up more frequently in like in a smaller genetic pool, and so people that have it in their family history are kind of warned like you should maybe get tested for this marker, because if your wife happens to also be or your husband happens to be an Ashkenazi Jew as well, then they might have it too, and your likelihood of this happening with your children could be really high. And so it could be like, hey, one out of every two of your theoretical children could have this and die before the age of 6. So that, you know, you should maybe consider, like, if you're both Ashkenazi Jew, have this test done and see if you are in danger of that happening, and then make the decision if you guys want to try it or not.
Yeah, but that seems like that's after the fact. Once you get into a relationship, then you do
so
this test.
So what I would posit, though, is that is it so far-fetched to believe that as our knowledge of the human genome and that as our knowledge of human genetics and also, like, epigenetics and, like, all the deeper layers of that become more and more complete, there won't be things that we can start to look at a genome and say, hey, you know what? When someone has these epigenetic markers and they mate with someone who has these epigenetic markers, the likelihood of their child having a longer lifespan or being more physically robust or having a much lower chance of having asthma or different disorders that are not necessarily, yes, it's going to happen to you no matter what, but like, you got a 30% chance depending on your lifestyle choices. You drop all those chances way down low. Alzheimer's, for instance, we know has a huge genetic component to it, but it is not, as near as we can tell, completely genetic. There are environmental factors that play a role. Now, one of the things that I'm scared of is that my grandmother had Alzheimer's terribly, and that her brother, we think, had some related form of it. He had some other dementia going on. So I'm very concerned for my mother. You know, as she gets older, I worry about that happening to her. Now, the question is, if there are two children of people that had, you know, Alzheimer's in their family. Are there markers there where it says, like, yeah, you guys actually have a really high likelihood of having a child that could have that? Or could it even be taken a step further where it's like, and this starts to get into like the crazy like baby selecting stuff. It's like, oh, so you want your child to be over 6 foot. You want them to have hazel eyes and you'd like them to take after their mother and the bone structure of the face. But you definitely want like the physical build of the father, like the musculature and everything in terms of how strong they are. Right. OK, great. Let's boil that up in a test tube and do it. Now, that's a different thing. What I'm just suggesting is that there could be markers that say this person right here, you guys are probably going to be a pretty good match. And if you could take it even further, pheromones and whatnot, even though I know that we haven't really proven that as a definite thing that humans like has a big thing, like it's maybe, if that turns out to be more and more of the human attraction, human love experience than we think it is right now, being like, yeah, you two right here, you're gonna see each other and you're just gonna be like, hey, I'm gonna make you a baby machine, baby. That's all I'm suggesting by this.
That's actually, I think you kind of came around to where I think it will thrive.
Wait, so you're suggesting that I wasn't intending this the whole time and that I actually wanted to make camps and round people up, Logan?
Whoa! I'm just saying, like, the idea of dating for what your baby material is, I don't think most people actually think that
far
ahead.
Well, I wasn't thinking baby material. Yeah. I was thinking more that there but, are like, things if you're like, pheromones
wait,
and...
Yeah, if you're like, wait, if I spin in this vial, I'm going to meet somebody I think is just totally banging hot in a week, people will do that so hard.
And that's what I'm suggesting, is that there might be point... Like, maybe human attraction isn't that biologically determined. But I don't know. I think you,
there's
you guys...
There's so much in your... As you grow up, like, nature versus nurture. So much in your nurture that affects what you're attracted to.
But also, haven't you guys ever had, like, an attraction to someone, even if it, like, didn't pan out in any significant way, but, like, met someone at a bar or at, like, a party or something, and you were just like, I have no idea why.
There's definitely some weird pheromones that happen sometimes.
Now, imagine if you just go on a series of dates with
people
you meet, and you're
just like... functional relationship, though. That's more like just, like, I'm hungry. Like, you know, it's kind of like a tasty burger.
True enough. But you know what gets you to take? You know what gets
you
to take lots
when you
of
see
bites?
A hot girl?
Hungry.
But, you know,
hungry.
But here's the thing, Logan.
Logan's hungry.
Here's the difference, Logan. How do you know that there aren't other more subtle pheromonal markers going on that instead of getting the like, yeah, papa like feeling, you're just kind of like, she seems cool, and then you're like, this is the kind of like, this is the sort of pheromonal thing that says like, you should stick around. That's pretty good. Stick around. There's little hormone things. Stick around. Yeah, it's not the hamburger thing, but you don't need the hamburger thing. You're over a certain age. Your hormone chemistry has changed. The hamburger thing's done. I need you to stick around.
So you're saying it's less of a hamburger and more of like a microwave meal?
It's more of a long term. Like you split the hamburger and put it in Tupperware and you have it.
This
over
is like
a few
a, like
days.
A, like
you
a
guys tra- are torturing the fuck out of this metaphor.
Like you're talking like a Trader Joe's Sophine.
Like it's like a gift card to a Trader Joe's where you can purchase meals, but for a long time, for your lifetime.
Yeah, baby, I'll purchase your meals.
Yeah.
A gift
Girls
card.
Like a guy that can provide.
God damn it. Okay.
What is the future of internet dating?
Oh, I'll tell you.
100 years from now.
I'll tell you.
5,000 years
I'll
from now.
I'll tell you.
Is there an internet
100 years from now.
Okay.
You will get up. And you will go to your internet room, which is a fully immersive spheroid where you experience an Oculus Rift-like... imagine the Lawnmower Man, but
we
with much better
with
graphics.
The Oculus Rift, by the way.
We were, by the way. And then you say, Internet, I need my dating elf to help me. And then in your other room, the bio wall separates, and a Macho Man Randy Savage tiny, but wearing a little black tuxedo...
Classy.
Pops out and then runs up behind you and go, come brother, I will introduce you to various beautiful young women that are eligible and interested in meeting in someone of your genetic profile.
Now, does the Macho Man bloodline get royalties from this varied widespread use of his
image? Well, because they are actually hereditarily bonded to you on a mitochondrial DNA level, it is in the interest of the Macho Man Randy Savage line that is bonded to you to perpetuate you. Otherwise, they too will lose the great genetic race to the heat death of the universe and not be there at the end. So it is there. They need you to mate so that their omnipresence and intelligence can continue down the ages.
Infinite savages across infinite planets,
I've been
across
reading
infinite
Dune
universes.
Lately.
That's a lot of slim gyms to be snapped into.
All of the universes but one Slim Jim snapping.
A billion Slim Jims snapping into a billion hungry mouths.
A billion hungry mouths and all falling silent.
Oh, yeah,
God damn it.
So you're, what you're saying is essentially it's The Bachelor, but with a little Randy Man Savage?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it.
It's so complicated, but it's pretty much what we have.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
Everybody has The Bachelor, though.
That's awesome.
Wait, so where do you experience your women? In the wall orifice?
Well, I mean, I think that really depends on your, you know, relative class inside the dystopian future that this represents.
Okay.
I mean, if you're of breeding class, no. You have sex with the wall, and then your genetic material is broken down and then reconstituted out of artificial genetic material at her wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if we'll ever want to, like, there's no good way of saying this.
Just say it.
Not sure it's not racist.
Well, I'm like, how?
$1,000 fucking.
$1,000 fucking. But in the future, as we don't have any need for actual procreation as we understand it,
right,
biologically, will we ever like essentially choose to like devolve at points to get like more crazy savage for no particular, like the equivalent would be, let's say, Soylent, the white powder that you can mix into water and drink and conceivably be completely fine.
You mean a tasteless carnation instant breakfast?
Exactly. Let's say that Soylent actually works. Let's say it works so well, we don't need any other food. We will continue to slay cows, slice them up,
yeah,
and put them on fires.
So you're asking long after we've lost the need to actually
procreate.
So basically what you're positing to me is the start of Man of Steel.
This is
where
deep,
in
deep
the future,
future
we have the... Like the
water
Genesis
babies.
Chamber,
the water
is what
babies,
they call
yeah.
the Genesis Chamber.
Yeah.
And then Russell Crowe was like, no, I'm going to totally pork my wife and make a real baby the first time in several
hundred years.
No more
water babies.
No more water babies. Because literally what we just described was Man of Steel.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think people, because you know what?
That's exactly it. I think that's exactly
unless
what's
we live
happen.
In a like truly totalitarian, like omni-totalitarian society in the future, people are always going to be stone cold boning, even if all babies come from, you know, water baby factories.
SCB, dude. Stone
and,
cold boning.
You know, no birth control even today is 100%. So in a world of 7 billion people, even with like 99.999% perfect birth control, you still got a shit ton of babies on a regular
and
basis.
The other thing I wonder about is, have you guys ever seen Logan's Run?
Nope. I've seen you run.
There's that one point, there's a teleporter that's literally there to put like sweet babes in your house. Like,
I need to see this movie.
Like, what? That's a thing.
Is that it's available? Like, can you buy one of those?
Like, Michael York is like, activate the babe portator or something.
The babe portator.
And it like,
that sounds like babes bringing you potatoes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I want then, chives and sour cream
and
on
then,
this one.
Like, and then it's essentially the Star Trek teleporter, but babes just appear and he's like, no, thank you. And like the next babe comes, he's like, yes. And then she steps out and she's like, I don't really feel like doing this right now. And he's like, why did you put yourself on the babe potato then? And so
what?
Like, I'm essentially like,
it's amazing.
Like, the problem with OK Cupid is like, you have to talk to, like, you coordinate and then you like have to go meet them later. At what point is it video chat, or is it like just like right then and there, like in the coffee shop, we have our Google Glass and it's just like, she wants to talk to men.
Doesn't
and you're
that,
like,
that already
yeah.
exists? That's Tinder.
Oh, is that what Tinder is?
Well, I mean, Tinder is much more base in the sense that it's basically just like, who's down to fuck? But that's essentially
you have
what
to
Tinder
really
is.
Say it so violently, isn't it? Who's down to make
what
love?
What do you mean?
Oh man, Tinder is like a hot or not, where if you both agree that the other person is hot, then you can start communicating.
Well, it's also I think there's also a proximity factor to it that you can set, where you're literally like, is there someone within like 500 square feet of me? Of course, this only works in a big city or something that's like thinks I'm attractive. It's like, yes, it is. All right, well, let's get coffee right now. And it's like, okay, this didn't work. Bye. It's just like that.
That's wild. That's so weird.
Future's weird.
That's weird. I like. That's the other thing. Is like, I always wonder, like, in the future, how will we feel about our kids, like, taking this to its logical
extreme? Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I figured it out. Whenever they do something all futury and annoying, you do something that's even older than you are to balance it out. So when they're all like, beep, boop, boop, human dad, because I marry a robot.
Obviously.
So my child is half robot.
They can only speak in binary beep,
beep boop,
boops.
Boop. Dad, I am marrying this Neptunian and there's nothing you can do about it. I say, God damn it, Tonina Unit 747. And then I'll go out to the yard and I'll snap off a switch and I'll start beating that robot daughter of mine.
You've got some old notions about a lot of stuff, man. Some real old notions.
But then the ironic part about it all is she'll act like it hurts because she knows it makes me feel better, but she's a robot. But hitting her with a stick doesn't do anything to her. Really, it's all just sort of a weird...
It's all just circuitry and diagrams.
It's just a roundabout way of her and I expressing love for each other. Beep, wow. Boop, boop, beep.
That's how... Kids, that's love, man.
Kids are...
Boop.
Our kids. Gonna be so angry at us in the future because we're like... They're gonna be like, Dad, just plug into the neural network. Like, the way that our parents... I was born in the Soviet Union and my parents do not, like... They do mechanical manufacturing engineering, and they just cannot grasp that you don't need to double-click a link after, like, 12 years on the internet.
Mm.
And our kids are going to be so frustrated with us when we can't, like, relax to let the cords, like, take over our minds.
I'll tell you. I think that's going to be...
Just let the cords go down your throat, man.
Dad, stop biting it. Dad!
That's going to be... Some people, yes.
You're such a nerd.
Some people, yes. Some people, no. Some people are going to be super down. I have a friend that I argue with this about where he's like, so you're telling me that if you could be transmuted into, like, an immortal, like, singularity body that you would do it? I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely, in a fucking heartbeat. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I just want to go to a cabin in, like, North Carolina and, like, be left alone and, like, get off technology.
And die.
And that's what I say. And die? And he's like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, you know what? Bill, which is not his name, Bill, you won't even know... If you're in a singularity-run universe, because you'll be in your little cabin, and every day will seem like the first day you've been there, and then I'll pop in and be like, hey, you're still alive forever, even though you don't want to be, suck it! They'll be like, what? No! Ah, shit! And then I'll disappear, and then he'll be like, reset the program, I don't want to know that I know! Whoop! And then he'll be fine.
I think the real question is, when we get rid of our bodies, when we get rid of our bodies, will we still want to have body illusions?
I think for different things. It'll be, because, like, think about it this way, like, just because you've read, like, 100 sci-fi books when you're a kid doesn't mean that you don't want to read another one that's a little different. And it also doesn't mean that you suddenly don't want to read one that maybe is a Western. And so, like, once you get to... it's like, you know what? I'm tired of being a human in, you know, late 21st century or doing this. Like, I want to know what it's like to be a dolphin for 1,000 years.
What are you going to be?
First. Happy.
What? What's your first physical manifestation that's not a human that you're going to try to experiment
first
with?
First physical manifestation that's not a human.
Monkey.
That's what you're going for, Leo?
Well, you got to fly. You got to fly.
Yeah, come on.
Can you be a mythical animal?
You can do whatever you want,
anything.
Dude.
Yeah, anything. Sky's the limit.
You want, dude.
Be like it. Like a dragon? Like a griffin?
Like for $1,000. That'd be $1,000 just to see what it feels like.
That's great.
I would be...
I want each of my limbs to be 1,000 feet, and I want to just hug a skyscraper. And then when I flex my thighs, I want to shoot into the sun, and I want to feel that.
That's pretty
what
cool.
What is that?
That's pretty cool. We've gotten really abstract today. Yeah, today's been a weird one. You got a good one. Last week was a total shit show. This week's great.
Yeah, last week you didn't even do one.
No.
Totes is shit show.
Or no, 2 weeks ago. The one we did with Bruce Lee and Brian was just...
Yeah. Also, I want to feel what it means to be void.
Oh.
Yeah, but with space dust.
The absence of
the
things.
The absence of things.
You know what I would like to be a star. I would like to feel the, like, intensity of being something so huge and energetic on one side of it, but then on the flip side, even in all my burning majesty, be a tiny mote in the grand darkness.
I want to be a planet with a sphincter that allows me to spray propellant so I can move, and then I want to feel what it's like to have my planet slam into another planet.
You know, you can have those sensations right now if you eat a couple bean burritos from the 7-Eleven and then go home to your girlfriend.
I told you about what my girlfriend said, right? Yeah. Okay.
Can we just recap that I said dragon and you guys said a void and the infinite stars?
I'll be a dragon.
Not only was my answer nerdy as hell, but it was not as deep as it clearly should have been.
I'll be a dragon at some point.
Yeah, once I do the star thing, I'm going to be like, dolphin.
But I want to be every type of dragon. I want to be Dragonheart on the front, and I want to be a Chinese dragon on the back.
Okay, you know, I think you're really jumping ahead here because you need to do things first before you start mixing and matching like an asshole.
When I was in fifth grade, we had an elementary school yearbook, and a question was, "What's your most prized possession?" And I wrote my $20 watch, which made me sound like a douche. But I was 11, and every single other kid wrote like my family. Or like, I didn't even know you could do that. No one told me you could do that.
You were just very literal. You were like, what is your most valuable possession? Possessions are things that you own. You don't own your family. Your family are people. They are free.
I was 11 years old. And my parents saw this yearbook and they were like, you asshole. Everyone else loves their family. You love some watch you bought at fucking Bradley's, the precursor to Target.
All right. Well, guys, I think we had another wonderful peek into the future of at least being. Not internet dating.
Online dating.
Being $1,000 maybe.
$1,000
fucking dollars. Ben, I never asked this, but can we get that in a 5-second film sometime?
Oh, yes. I will figure out a way to put that in a 5-second.
$1,000 fucking dollars.
I gotta think about
the market sound like a balloon with air escaping.
It's the perfect amount of money.
Leo, thanks for your time, dude.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, this is Ben.
No, you're
I'm
Logan.
Ben. This is Logan.
Oh.
And I'm Leo.
He's everybody. Actually, this is all a singularity simulation for Logan. Yep. He's all of us and the drum kit. Kick the kit.
To the future, everybody.
To the future.
To the future.